as always, Adam Martin. We made it through October, guys. I hope you had a good Halloween and went out and got some candy and went to some parties or whatever. It was a good night, I think, for a lot of you guys. I stayed at the bowling alley. I had my league, and thankfully, they had PFL playing, which was awesome. I don't know if someone knew that I was on that pair of lanes, because I looked around, and I don't think any other pair had PFL playing on the TV, but the one I was on had PFL, so I was watching the fights while I was bowling. It was funny because, you know, I don't know these guys on this team that I'm on. I kind of joined a random team just at a different alley than what I normally go to. And it's funny because they're watching the fights. I was sitting there watching. I wasn't really saying anything. And these other guys on my team were watching and they're like, man, this sport sucks. What a stupid sport. It's so dumb. It's so barbaric. Who watches this shit? I'm sitting there laughing in my head. You know, I didn't say anything. I don't like starting fights with people. I mean, they were so uneducated, but it was pretty funny. But yeah, they were sitting there making fun of the sport and people were watching it. And I was just like, eh. And one guy was like, oh, I heard there's women fighting now. Like that hasn't been going on for like 15 years. So anyways, it was kind of funny, but it's funny how uneducated some people are about MMA. I mean, I think it's the greatest sport in the world. Love bowling too. Don't get me wrong. Love it. But that's a hobby of mine. MMA is my lifeblood. I love it. So, you know, but the thing is people are all going to like it. I know that. I met a lot of people in my life that didn't like MMA, didn't understand it. So you just kind of have to shrug your shoulders. I just thought it was funny when they were saying, like, these guys aren't skilled and, like, they suck and it's so barbaric. And I'm just like, wow, these people don't even know what they're talking about. Anyways, I did watch the PFL card while I was doing my thing. And, you know, it was a pretty decent card, at least all the heavyweight fights. The heavyweight fights, some of them, oh, man. Some of them dragged on, which we, I think, had to expect considering it's heavyweights and they're fighting twice in the same night. So I don't think that's a complete shocker. But let's go through the card and I'll talk about the results of it. So opening up the card, no surprise here at all. Emiliano Sordi knocks out Siga Pescalelli in the first round. That was fight was a blow. He was a huge favorite, Sordi was. So he advances. Next fight was another light heavyweight bout, Bozagit Atiev against Viktor Nemkov. That was a draw, and Atiev moved on due to a judge's decision. Next fight was Maxim Grishin versus Jordan Johnson. Once again, a draw. Johnson moved on due to judge's decision. And by the way, in those cases, those are draws. The sports book should actually give you your money back. So there shouldn't be a winner or loser, even though that the judges have to actually pick someone to move on. Next up, Rashid Yusupov knocks out Vinny Magalhaes. Feel bad for Vinny. Don't like seeing him get knocked out. He's a friend of mine, but it is what it is. And, you know, Yusupov is a very dangerous guy. Knocks out Vinny, moves on. As far as heavyweight bouts go, some of these really dragged on. So Ali Issaev defeats Kelvin Tiller. Again, no surprise there. Next up was my upset pick of the night, and I'm happy about this one. Jerry Rosault defeats Mohamed Darius via ground and pound in the first round. I think I was the only one on Jerry Rosault. He was a big underdog last night. Don't know why. Guy still has good wrestling, even though he's boring to watch. And he knocks out Mohamed Darius, so he cashes a nice underdog there. Let me check what the odds were on that one. Rosault ended up as a plus 135. Okay, so when the odds opened, it was like plus 210. So it went down a little bit, but still good odds on him getting the win there. I should mention Pescalelli was minus 425. So the odds actually dropped on him somehow. People were actually believing in Pescalelli as a dog. I don't know why. Yusupov was minus 185. The other fights were draws. And then Issaev was minus 550. So again, most of the favorites but Rochelle did pull through. Next up, Denis Goltsov defeats Satoshi Ishii. Again, no surprise there. Goltsov was a huge favorite, minus 925. A fight was actually a bit closer than those odds indicate. But yeah, Goltsov deserved to win. Next up was an absolute freaking war between Frank Barbarossa and Alex Nicholson. This was a war. These guys really they wanted that $1 million. They went to battle for two rounds. Barbarossa gets the win. There's a lot of low blows in this fight. A very brutal fight. Lots of cuts, lots of knees to the face, lots of knees to the groin. Barbarossa moves on, and he cashed as a minus 120 favorite. So that was essentially a pick-em fight. Barbarossa was actually a very underrated fighter. Unfortunately for Barbarossa, he was not cleared by the commission to move on to the final round. And that's the one downfall with PFL doing two fights in one night. This will happen sometimes. This happened a couple weeks ago in their welterweight tournament with Magomed Karamov. He was not able to move on. Chris Curtis took the spot. So the same thing happened here with Barroso and Kelvin Tiller took his spot. It's very unfortunate. You know, I think Barroso actually would have been a decently, I wouldn't even say favorite necessarily, but I think he would have had a good chance to win the heavyweight tournament just based on his experience. And actually, he's looked really good in PFL. So I give that guy credit because when he was in the UFC, he wasn't much of a fighter. Now he's really turned it on in PFL, so good for him. Semifinal rounds, Jordan Johnson defeats Rashid Yusupov via decision. I mean, Jordan Johnson actually was probably one of the surprises of the night. He looked decently, like, decent, I guess. He hasn't looked great since moving on from the UFC, but he looked decent in this, on this card. Beats Yusupov, who I would have picked to win that fight. In the other light heavyweight fight, Emelian Sordi defeats Bozaget Ateyev. I don't think there's any surprise there. Sordi's a very, very good fighter. You know, you talk about most underrated fighters outside the UFC right now. I think Sordi's up there. This guy's very good. He's on a 4-fight win streak right now. He's won 5 of his last 6 fights overall. Remember, he had that fight with Ryan Spann in the Contender Series. He lost. The UFC let him go. He went to PFL. He's looked really good in PFL. And Ryan Spann, obviously, is one of the top light heavyweight prospects right now in the UFC. So, really, it wasn't a bad loss. And this guy has quite a bit of experience. He's fought for Bellator. He's fought for the UFC. Well, the Daily Contender Series anyways. Now he's in PFL doing really well. So, I'm happy for this guy. I like Emiliano Sordi. They call him He-Man, 28 years old. You know, the UFC goes to Argentina, and they didn't bring him with them. I think that he's a guy that they shouldn't have passed on. Even though he lost that fight, I think he could have been the guy they gave a short notice fight to, and he's looked really good in PFL. Good scouting there by PFL to pick him up. And then, so I should say, the light heavyweight final will be Emiliano Sordi versus Jordan Johnson for $1 million on New Year's Eve. And I like Sordi in that fight. I mean, Johnson obviously has a pretty well-rounded game and probably better wrestling in that fight, but Sordi's so dangerous, better striking, better submissions. Cardio could play an edge here in this fight, and Johnson might get a small cardio advantage, but I have to go with Sordi in that fight. And then for the heavyweight fights, Jared Rosol defeats Kelvin Tiller. He took the fight on short notice, obviously like an hour's notice. He was a lucky loser. A lot of people criticizing PFL for that, but what are they going to do? They can't really have like a backup just in case. Like, you're not expecting someone to not be cleared. So Rosol defeats Tiller. It was a terrible fight. It was actually the trilogy fight between these two. They fought a couple times before. Tiller has submitted Jared Rosol, but not this case. He had one maybe close submission in the third round, but it was pretty much all Jared Rosol in this fight. Very boring fight, but that wrestling was pretty effective. And then the other heavyweight final, which was the last fight of the night, Ali Issaev defeats Denis Goltsov via third-round TKO at 4:59 round three. Goltsov was arguably winning the fight, but man, what a brutal, brutal barrage of punches by Issaev. He's now 7-0. He's absolutely the favorite to win this heavyweight tournament. I think he absolutely smashes Jared Rosol. Rosol has wrestling, but so does Issaev. And Issaev, I don't think will be able to get taken down on the feet. There's no doubt he's a better fighter. So I like him a lot in that fight. And, man, what a brutal, brutal finish. The other thing I'll say about this is, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, Herbie should let it go the full three rounds. I don't agree with that. I feel like if you're a referee, and I'm pretty sure if you ask any ref, they'll tell you the same thing. You're not trained to listen for the bell or listen to the 10-second clapper. You're trained to watch the fighters fight. And if the guy's getting pounded out, even if there's 1 second left, the fight's over. So, to me, it was a good stoppage. Obviously, you don't see 1 second left in the fight stoppages very often. It has happened in the UFC. Leon Edwards versus Peter Sabata, Demetrius Johnson against Kyoji Horiguchi. It happens once in a while, very rare. But in this, and also Magomed Ankalaev versus Paul Craig, that's another one. That was on the same card as Edwards, by the way. That was so weird that happened the same night. But anyways, in this case, I think it was a good stoppage. No problem with Herb Dean stopping that fight. Again, people like to hate on Herb Dean. He's made some bad calls in the past, but this was actually a good call by him. So finals is Ali Issaev versus Jared Rosholt. And again, I like Ali Issaev a lot in that fight. What else here? Apologize for the dogs again, guys. I don't know what's going on there. What else here? Okay, so for UFC 244, all the fighters have made weight pretty much. Nate Diaz made weight. Jorge Masvidal made weight. Darren Till made weight. So that's good stuff there. Darren Till was the one guy everyone was a little bit worried about, but he showed up and he made weight. So good for him. He made UFC 244 fight week. He didn't look amazing at the weigh-ins, but he still was able to make the 186-pound non-title light heavyweight, middleweight limit. So good for him. And the fight with Kelvin Gastelum's on, just like the Nate Diaz Masvidal fight's on. Nate Diaz actually weighed in at 170.4, but the BMF title is not an official title, so he was entitled to a 1-pound allowance. So that's good. And again, the weigh-ins are actually going on right as we speak, but it looks like everyone's going to make weight. So that's good stuff. That card tomorrow is so amazing. I can't wait to watch it. Again, me and Cole Sheldon did a Phil Preview podcast on Tuesday. Go back and watch that. We broke down every fight in the card, gave our picks for every fight in the card. Definitely go back and check that out. Walt Harris back in the news. Very unfortunate news here. Walt Harris had to pull out his fight with Alistair Overeem at UFC Washington, D.C. I feel bad for Walt because obviously, he's worked hard to get a main event slot. He's worked hard to get a fight with a guy like Alistair Overeem. And unfortunately, he had to be pulled from the card. And he will not be fighting Alistair Overeem on this card. And you can't blame him, really. You know, it was his own decision. He has to focus on what's going on in his own personal life with, honestly, unfortunately, his daughter still missing a week later. Police in Auburn, Alabama have said that they found the car, and there's some evidence suggesting that there was some foul play, so, and his daughter possibly could have been harmed. So very, very sad news there. I really hope they find Walt Harris's daughter. Obviously, this is every parent's nightmare, missing their child. Walt Harris, again, he's worked really hard the last couple of years to make an impact in the heavyweight division. It looks like he was finally at the top of his game, and now he's dealing with a personal tragedy here. So, you know, I think the whole MMA family obviously wants Walt Harris's daughter to be found. Very, very sad news that she's still missing. And I got to give credit here to John Jones and Ali Abdelaziz. They've each donated $25,000 to help find Harris's missing daughter. So that's good stuff by Jones and Ali Abdelaziz. You know, two guys that are obviously very controversial figures in the world of MMA, but two guys that have really stepped up here. Dana White, of course, as well, as donated $25,000. There was also $5,000 donated by, I believe, the governor of Alabama. And I saw that some family in Hollywood also donated. Mom and his family donated. So there's, I believe, over $100,000 now available if someone has information to find Walt Harris's daughter. I hope they find her, and hope someone steps up here. It would be really sad if you know, the news was bad, but right now she's still missing. So it's been over a week, and that's not a good thing. And especially now that they found evidence suggesting that she could have been injured during some sort of possible attack or something in her vehicle. A couple other things here. One of Ali Abdelaziz's clients, Justin Gaethje, he went absolutely off on Conor McGregor during an article or a video with TMZ. Went absolutely off, calling Conor a bitch, basically, for not fighting him, saying that he's a wimp, saying he wants to fight guys like Cerrone and Frank Yeager so he can get easy wins. He said if he fights Conor, he wouldn't choke him out. He said he would keep it on the feet and he would beat Conor like a man. He says Conor doesn't want that. Conor McGregor actually responded on his Twitter. He just basically said Justin Gaethje with a couple emojis, and people were obviously retweeting that. It looks like he's ducking him a little bit. I mean, he doesn't really give Gaethje any sort of credit at all. I think that was the first time he mentioned him. Now that the Cerrone fight looks like it's going to happen. So, you know, Gaethje, as much as I like Gaethje, it looks kind of desperate on his part, the fact that he keeps going after Conor when he has a fight book. But you can't blame him if he wants that payday. Gaethje, amazing fighter. You know, I think most of us would pick Gaethje if he fought Conor right now. But yes, Justin Gaethje versus Conor McGregor, doesn't look like it's going to happen, but it was kind of a funny interview, and he called him the Burger King. I thought that was pretty funny as well. Paul Daly is another guy in the news here. He announced yesterday he will not be fighting in the United States ever again. He says that he will only fight in the UK. I don't know what spurred this. I'm assuming it had something to do with not getting a title shot. He obviously wanted that title shot really badly against Douglas Lima and Rory McDonald, the winner of that fight, which obviously turned out to be Lima. But Scott Coker said Lorenz Larkin's going to get that fight instead. So Paul Daly will not be fighting in the U.S. anymore. And I feel like that had something to do with it, but he said that he didn't say anything about that. So that's just speculation on my part, but I'm not sure why else he wouldn't want to fight in the U.S. I just feel like he realizes, you know what, I'm not going to get a title shot anytime soon. I'll just fight in the UK close to home. Bellator does cards all the time, so he'll continue fighting. But he's another guy with one of those what-if stories in MMA. Like, what would have happened if Paul Daly stayed in the UFC? What would have happened if the Josh Koscheck thing never happened after the bell blow? It's hard to say. I mean, I think he would have had a decent career in the UFC. He has obviously massive knockout power. His wrestling's gotten a little bit better over the years. It was never great, but I think he would have had a decent career as a welterweight in the UFC. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to control his temper that one night, and Dana White cut him. I still feel like other fighters have been given more leniency for that kind of stuff. Like, remember Michael Bisping fought Jorge Rivera, spit on his corner. He was still able to fight again in the UFC. Michael Bisping was, obviously, many times. So to me, it was a situation where Dana White kind of pulled the trigger a little too fast. But at the same time, Daly, you know, obviously hit Koscheck after the bell, something you can't do in MMA, and he did it, and it cost him his career in the UFC, but he's still making a lot of money in Bellator, so good for him. All right, a couple of fight announcements here. This one's interesting. UFC Busan gets heavyweight fight between Ciryl Gane and Tanner Boser. I really don't even know what to think about this fight, honestly. It's not the fight I expected. Ciryl Gane has looked absolutely incredible, no doubt about it. 5-0, only 29, 2-0 now in the UFC. Submitted Rafael Pessoa in the summer, and then beat Dontell Mays by heel hook with other submission. This guy is super well-rounded, super dangerous everywhere. Very, very good fighter, good prospect. Takes on Tanner Boser, who is another good prospect in the heavyweight division, but not coming off the kind of win that I think you would have thought that he would have got a fight with a guy like Gon. He did beat Daniel Spence by decision. He is on a 2-fight win streak, 3-fight unbeaten streak overall. But I wasn't too impressed with the Spence fight. Listen, he did what he had to do. He got the win. He got the decision. He outpointed the guy. But I would have liked to see him be a little bit more aggressive. You look at his career, he does have a lot of decision wins, 7 wins by decision, 10 by stoppage. But, you know, I feel like Gon could have fought someone in the top 15, maybe even the winner of, like, the Arlovski fight this weekend against Rosenstruck, or there's got to be some other guy sitting in the top 15 to want to fight. So, to me, I feel like it was a wasted opportunity, but the UFC wanted to keep Gon busy. Fights Boser, but Gon's going to be a huge favorite in that fight, no doubt about it. And a couple other fights here. Another one at UFC Busan, Suman Mokhtarian against Sungwoo Choi. So I'll pull these guys up here. They both fought in the UFC, I think, once each. Sungwoo Choi, 7-3 in his career. He's coming off. Actually, he's fought twice now. He lost to Gavin Tucker and Mofsar Pavlov. Wasn't too impressive. His grappling obviously has some issues. I thought he should have probably won that fight with Tucker, and he got beaten. And Tucker's a guy coming off a long layoff with a brutal fight in his last one, and he got beaten down there. Takes on Suman Mokhtarian here, 8-1 in his career. He's 0-1 in the UFC. Got knocked out by Sodiq Yusuf. That's a tough fight. Obviously, you got to favor, I think, Choi here, just based on the fact it is in South Korea. But both guys not too impressive in the UFC. And the other fight is a short notice fight here between Verna Jandiroba and Livia Renata Souza at UFC Washington, D.C. There was an injury there for Courtney Casey. She was supposed to fight Jandiroba. She's out. And now Livia Renata Souza takes her place. So Verna Jandiroba, a former Invicta FC strawweight champion. She looked great in Invicta, no doubt about it. 14-0 overall in the career, including a 3-0 mark in Invicta. And then she lost the decision to Carla Esparza in her UFC debut. She got to wrestle in that fight. It was disappointing to watch, but she has had 6 or 7 months to get better and just train and not fight. So hopefully she's worked on her takedown defense, because that's a huge issue, obviously, in her game. Takes on Livia Renata Souza here, another former Invicta FC strawweight champion. She had a nice record in Invicta. She was 4-1 overall in Invicta. Since coming to UFC, 2-1, submitted Alex Chambers, lost, won a split decision over Sarah Froda. In a catchweight fight, and then she lost the decision to Brianna Vipper, who's a very good prospect. No shame in that loss. She's a good prospect. So I think you got to favor Souza a little bit here. I just been a little bit more impressed there, but definitely a close fight. Not the kind of fight I personally would want to bet on or something like that. I wouldn't go crazy on that one, but definitely an interesting fight there. UFC 244, when we did the show the other day, we had all the money line odds, but now we have props for all the fights. So just some props that I was looking at that you guys could potentially look at as well. The Masvidal Diaz fight, I personally believe, probably goes the full five. And actually, the over 4.5 is -130. So I think there could be some value in that. I mean, definitely there could be a stoppage here, but I feel like more times than not, this fight goes the distance. It's going to be a close fight. I do favor Diaz. Diaz by decision is also +270. Masvidal by decision is +215. I feel like the fight goes the full five. Could be wrong. Any fight, I could be wrong. But in this particular case, I have a good feeling this fight's going to go the full five. Both guys, super tough, super durable, very tough to knock out. I feel like that's what's going to happen there. Some of the other fights, Derek Lewis looked in incredible shape. He has worked with a nutritionist. He lost 30 pounds. He looks in incredible shape. He's a small underdog right now against Ivanov. I know everyone's picking Ivanov. He trains at AKA, trained with Cormier. Yeah, it's good training partners, but I like Derek Lewis in this fight, guys. I do think he wins. And as an underdog, I think there's value there. Lewis by knockout, +180. I mean, that's how he wins this fight. Vano, very tough, very hard to finish, but it's possible. The Thompson-Luque fight's a pick'em. No surprise there. That's a very close fight. I did pick Luque in the podcast, but that's all I pick, and I'm super confident. That's a tough fight. The other fight that I did pick in the dogging was Till Gastelum. I'm still going to go with Till here, but I don't like him as much now that the week has not gone his way. I'm going to pick my go with my initial read here and go with Till. I know that's kind of crazy considering what's going on with him, but I do think Till can win this fight. So we'll see what happens there with Till. Gillespie and Lee, I still like just Gillespie. I like him a lot in that fight, actually. Kevin Lee, to me, doesn't have anything for Greg Gillespie. I think Gillespie goes on there, probably out-wrestles him. He's only a -160 favorite. Johnny Walker, Corey Anderson. I picked Walker, but the lack of wrestling that we've seen from him does bother me here, because if he gets taken down, I don't even know if he can get back up. I really have no idea. So I feel like anyone's betting on Walker, it's kind of taking a guess here that he's probably going to knock Anderson out, which I do think happens, but that wrestling does scare me. If the fight goes past the first round, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Anderson was just able to lay on top of him, because that's the kind of fighter he is. Burgos Amerikani, Burgos still a big favorite. He should win that fight. I don't really see Amerikani having anything for him. Shahbazyan Taveras. Shahbazyan's a little bit of a bigger favorite now than when I talked about earlier in the week. I still really like him in this fight. I do think he probably knocks Brad Taveras out. Shahbazyan by stoppage is plus 180, but the money line is minus 145. Probably that's the best way to go there. Rozenstruik Arlovski, another situation where I do like Rozenstruik, but the more the fight week's gone on, I wouldn't be surprised if Arlovski did get the win. The experience edge, I didn't realize that it's the biggest gap in experience in UFC history. You got three fights against 31 fights in the UFC. That's crazy. So I still like Rozenstruik because of the undefeated record and the knockout power, and Arlovski's chin is not great, but that's a scary one. Maya Chikagian, I do like Chikagian, only minus 155. She's a lot bigger. She was wearing heels at the stare downs, but she was definitely taller, no doubt about it. And I think her volume, striking tech, gets the job done. Lyman Good, chance for counter. Chance is a little small underdog here. A very tough fight to call. Lyman Good's a very, very strong guy. Tough one to call, but I did pick Brent Counter, so I'll stick with that read. And the other fight was at Duadu Arce, another tough fight to call. But again, I stuck with Duadu, so I'll stick with that read there. So, like I said, maybe take a look at Derek Lewis, because the way he looked in the shape he looked in, he looks in incredible shape. And I know people are fading him based on the last couple of fights, and his cardio in the past has been very suspect, but the guy's still a huge knockout artist, and he looks great. I mean, good for him. You know, you got to give the guy credit. He's changed his training camp, working with the nutritionist. No more Popeyes, saving the Popeyes for after the fight. Guys, I can't wait for this card. It's going to be an incredible card. I cannot wait for it. So that card is tomorrow night. It's going to be an amazing card. I can't wait for it. I think that's it for today. So that's all for today's show, guys. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, check us out at maoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Check me out at bjpenn.com and maraise.net. This podcast is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Anchor, and Spotify. So that's it, guys. Have a great weekend. UFC 244 is going to be amazing. I can't wait for this card. Have a good one, guys. I'll see you later. Bye.